Dave asked me if I could speak this morning on the theme of partnership, obviously thinking of what we've just been hearing, amongst other things. So we're going to be looking at that from the book of Philippians. But before we do that, I just want to sort of paint a bit of background. 20 centuries ago, an itinerant tent maker and preacher was tossed into prison for creating a public disturbance. There he spent time dictating a letter that might have taken up a few pages of parchment. The Roman emperor in whose prison he had been confined was Nero. History records that Nero was a prolific writer. He produced loads of works, but not one of them is available today. The letter written by a parlous prisoner today is available all over the world in a multitude of different languages. As one biblical scholar put it, the time has come when people call their dogs Nero and their children Paul. And I think that's an excellent illustration of what Paul wrote in Corinthians. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. So our story starts in the ancient city of Philippi. The city of Philippi was named after King Philip II of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great. Presumably we've heard of him, even if we've never heard of King Philip. Philip, though not large, was strategically the most important city in Macedonia. It was located on the main trade route leading from the eastern provinces to Rome. This road, known as the Acacian Way, ran along the north side of the city's forum and was the chief cause of Philippi's political, a sort of prosperity and political importance. Philippi also had the status of a Roman colony, which meant that the citizens enjoyed the same privileges as Rome itself, and they were very proud of their status as a Roman colony. They prided themselves on being Roman, they dressed like Romans, and they often spoke Latin. So let's think about the Church of Philippi. If you want to read the story of how the church started at Philippi, you can find that in Acts 16. But we're just going to do a quick summary. Paul and his companions first visited Philippi in response to a nighttime vision, which he had. He saw a man in this vision from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." So they travelled to Macedonia and they went to Philippi, being the most important city in the region. And they went to a riverside where they expected to find a place of prayer, and then there they met a lady called Lydia, who was a prosperous businesswoman. She responded to Paul's message, and she and her whole household were baptised, and that was the beginning of the church. But Paul's stay in Philippi was cut short when he caused an upset by freeing a fortune-telling slave girl from demonic influence. Her owners, together with the crowd, dragged Paul and Silas before the magistrates, claiming these men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us as Romans to accept. As a result, Paul and Silas were severely flogged and thrown into prison. God miraculously opened the doors of the prison, and when the prisoners didn't grab their opportunity to escape, the prison warder became a Christian, and he and his household were baptized. And on the release of Paul and Silas the following day, Paul and his companions left, leaving behind a small group of believers meeting in Lydia's house. And the theme as we're going to consider this morning, as I said earlier, is the theme of partnership. And it was a theme that comes out very clearly in the letter to Philippi. It was a theme that was very important to Paul. Paul had a special relationship with the church at Philippi because of this sense of partnership that he had with them. And he highlights this right at the beginning of the letter. This is what he says. I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. What we're going to do is look at some aspects of partnership as they come out of Paul's letter. And the first thing to say is that it was a partnership for mission. Paul describes it as a partnership in the gospel. The church at Philippi was linked to Paul in a partnership to enable and support mission, just as we have the opportunity to do through the special offering we'll be having. It was a partnership of encouragement. Paul says he always prays with joy because of your partnership. So it's a partnership for mission, a partnership of encouragement. It was also a partnership of commitment, because Paul describes this partnership as being operative from the first day right up until now. And it was a partnership of generosity. Later in his letter, he writes these words: in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one of you shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once as I was in need. The Christians at Philippi were the first ones to support Paul, and they did it from early on. Thessalonica was the first place that Paul visited, having been evicted from Philippi. So even though at that time the church was probably still quite small, they still gave out of their resources to support Paul in his mission. And now that Paul was in prison, the Philippian Christians were concerned to provide for his needs. In Roman prisons, there was very little that was provided for prisoners. They had a very basic one meal a day that had very little nourishment. And so unless someone in prison had support from friends outside for food and drink, then their prospects would be pretty grim. So the church sent Epaphroditus with his gifts to supply Paul's needs. And Paul was able to write back to them, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. So we're going to think a little bit about partnerships at Unity Church. As Dave shared last week, there was once a thriving church here, but decline in numbers and an aging membership meant that a fresh initiative was needed if the church was to continue in its mission to the Ramsden Estate. And that new initiative came to be known as Unity Church, and it was only made possible by partnership with three other churches. Partnership with the Diocese of Rochester. The diocese owns this building and it owns the land, and we have been given free use of it. And not only did they give us free use of the building, but they also committed financial support for 3 years, and they gave us a certain amount each year over 3 years to help re-establish the outreach of the church and the estate. And then we were also in partnership with Christchurch. Christchurch, the vicar at the time, Jay, was very concerned that the work should prosper on the Ramsden Estate, and so we were in partnership with them, and they supported us. They supported us financially, they supported us with people as well. And for those early years, once a month they sent one of their house groups to come and worship with us to have a practical demonstration of that support. And then we were also supported by Hope Church, which is, they were in this building at the time they supported us. They've now obviously moved to several other sites. And then a new group of people, which was drawn mainly from Christ Church and Hope Church, with one or two others who felt called to be here, came and joined with those already here. And at a service in June 2012, Unity Church was officially launched with representatives from our three partner churches. You know, for many years, I firmly believed in the value of churches working together in partnership. What I didn't have a vision for was churches working with other groups in the community. And that developed when I was coordinating Orpington Street Pastors, because the street pastor work has prospered because it is a partnership between the church and the police and the local council. And it is impossible to start a new street pastors initiative anywhere unless both the police and the local council and the local churches are in support of it. And so I saw in a practical way the tremendous value of that and how much the council and the police valued the work of street pastors. We started in Orpington because the police asked if we could have a street pastor team in Orpington. I didn't think we needed one, but the police did. And I walked the streets one night with the police sergeant as he showed me around and convinced me that we should start a team. So there's great value in partnership with others outside of the church. And I've lost my place in my notes. Yeah, so here too at Unity, we have ventured into partnership with others. We've developed good relationships with Clarion Housing, and they help contribute towards setting up our community garden. And I believe they also contributed towards the Get Active program. And also they've given support for us, our work amongst those who are in need on the estate. So this partnership has been very helpful in enabling us to fulfill our mission to serve the people on this estate. We also have retail partnerships, and these are four of the retail partnerships that regularly provide food for our community fridge. We also pick up from the Food Partnership Church, from Christ Church, and from St. Nicholas Church. And I would want to say what a blessing the community fridge has been to so many people on this estate, and it's made possible because of these partnerships. And Liz, as Liz does, is exploring possible future partnerships. She's had a meeting looking at mentoring with Bromley children and families, which would mean providing support and advice for teens up to the age of 25. She's also had a meeting with Harris Primary Academy to help children understand what happens in church and how they can join in. And she's also had a meeting with NHS Bromley.
Happening tomorrow.
Oh, right. So there's something to pray for. And that's looking at the whole area of health and well-being and what possible role the church might have in that. So one of the things I want to encourage us to do is pray for wisdom, to know how to respond to these opportunities, and also to pray that God would provide the people we need. Our opportunities far outreach our capacity, but God is the Lord of the harvest, and Jesus told us to pray for laborers. So let's be praying that God would increase those who are here to serve and to enable us to respond to whatever opportunities might open up to us. So those are some of the partnerships that support what we're doing as a church. But as a church, we also have partnerships where we support other organisations. We support Starfish Malawi that Peter works with, and we've heard quite a bit about that in the past. They work in education, agricultural, vocational training, health and social care for children and young people. We support Release International, serving the needs of the persecuted church around the world. We support Bromley CAP Partnership, which obviously does the debt counselling that Martin's involved with, but also the life skills, the job club that we run here. And then, as we heard this morning, we're also in partnership with Regions Beyond, which is an international family of churches joined together in mission partnership. And this slide, I'll give you a few minutes to absorb that. That slide shows where we're currently, as Regions Beyond, working in the different nations. And as we heard, we will be having a special offering on the next two Sundays. One of the ways in which you could respond to this morning's message is to prayerfully consider if you might be able to give to that offering. And I think Dave will be giving us details, won't you, next week? There'll be an opportunity to give here in cash or to give directly to the bank account, but there'll be a few more details on that coming up. Paul encouraged the Philippians that what they gave in supporting him was an offering to God. This is what he wrote: "I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God." And he was convinced, as they met Paul's needs, that God in turn would meet their needs. And so he wrote, "My God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So to review this theme of partnership, as it appears in Philippians, it was a partnership for mission, partnership of encouragement, a partnership of commitment, and a partnership of generosity. And that's the type of partnerships that we need to be developing and are developing as a church. So we've looked at those key aspects of the partnership between Paul and the church at Philippi. And we've thought about some of the partnerships that support our work as a church and some of the partnerships where we support the work of others. But there's another aspect of partnership that I want to finish with. And that's the partnership that we have within the church. Sometimes we refer to it as fellowship, but the word fellowship implies partnership. It's not just being friendly together, it's sharing together in a purpose. Partnership. And the main way in which we express that partnership is through team unity. Joining Team Unity is a way to express your active support for all we're doing at Unity Church. It is a way of expressing support for the church leadership. It lets them know that there are others who share with them the responsibility for all that we're seeking to do as a church. And we meet as Team Unity perhaps two or three times a year as an opportunity to review how things are going and think about possible plans for the future. So can I end with a challenge? I want to ask, are you present at church? Or are you a participator at church? Are you in partnership at church? Or are you just present? Will you pray for our venture and mission? Will you volunteer your time in support of our mission? Will you give as you're able to support our mission? And will you express your support by joining Team Unity? And I want to say a big thank you to those that are already part of Team Unity, because it is a tremendous encouragement to our leadership team to have that support of others, standing alongside of them, sharing with them in what we're seeking to do as a church to bless this estate and beyond. So if you are not yet joined but are willing to join, then do have a word with Dave. I'm sure he'd like to hear from you. But to be a member of Team Unity, there is one prior requirement. You need first to be a member of Team Jesus. If you've not committed to following Jesus, can I encourage you to do that? That means admitting to yourself and God that you've sinned against him by living your own way for your own self and not for him. It means accepting that Jesus died to pay the debt for all the ways in which you have sinned and offended God. And then on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice, asking for God to forgive your sins, and from then on seeking to follow him, to be part of Team Jesus and serve under our captain, Jesus. If you would like to take that step and know more about it, then do come and talk to someone. Talk to Dave, talk to myself, talk to a Christian friend that you trust. We have a great privilege. God invites us. And as Amy said, there's nothing special about us. But God invites us to partner with him in his great enterprise of building his church right across the world. And so I want to say to you this morning as I end, how will you respond to God's invitation to be partner with him in his mission to build his church, transform lives, minister to the poor all across the world?